name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. These words again, the first verse of the gospel lesson you heard just a moment ago, which reads, "A leper came to Jesus, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.'" From its opening line, this passage from Mark's gospel is filled with beauty and power. Mark reports that a nameless leper came to Jesus. It's a simple statement, and yet it paints a remarkable picture. In a time and a place when lepers were nothing but outcasts, when on their own they were forced to stay away from society in general and from specific public contact, this leper had the boldness to cross the taboo boundaries and come directly to Jesus. And the next phrase, imploring, in other words, begging Jesus and kneeling, that phrase does not suggest that the leper stood at a great distance or called out to Jesus. The picture is one of proximity, of closeness. The leper began with some profound assumptions about Jesus. Jesus, in the leper's mind, was not afraid of him. He knew that Jesus would neither run away from him nor send him away. And Jesus did not. In fact, not only is Jesus unfazed by this close encounter with someone who is considered contagiously unclean, he later on makes the move to touch the leper. Yes, moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched the leper and said to him, "I will help you be clean." That touch wasn't necessary to the healing. Still, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Which leads me to another obvious question. How long do you think it was since someone had touched this untouchable? To have been rejected by Jesus would have been the worst thing that could have happened to the leper. Unthinkable, in fact. And that was not even on the mind of the leper. There was no fear on his part. Instead, ready, willing, and able, the leper comes to Jesus, kneeling and begging. Need I say that that's a posture familiar to us? Yes, we have been where the leper was. We have done what he has done. Pressed hard by some urgent need, some problem without an answer, we have come to Jesus on our knees begging. The question, though, that we must, like the leper, must ask ourselves is this: are we confident that Jesus has the power, the ability to answer our prayers? The question for the leper was not whether or not Jesus could heal him. The question was whether Jesus would choose to do so. "If you choose," he says in preface to his statement of faith, "I know you can. What I don't know is that you will." In a sense, that seems to be the way that we pray more often than not. "Lord willing," we say sometimes, not so much in submission to God's will as in uncertainty about what he wants for us. "Thy will be done," we add to our prayers, as though we're willing to accept second best from him, when in his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus has already guaranteed for us the best. Lord, we really want this. But I guess there are times we expect to be disappointed. Is that how we pray? It's so easy to allow the devil to tempt us into believing that God withholds good from us. Even when we are confident that God can answer our prayers, we doubt that he's ready and willing to do so when we fall on our knees and ask him. If you choose, we pray uncertainly, like the leper. And Jesus, even as he stretched out his hand to touch the untouchable, reassures, I do choose. I'm not only able, I'm ready and willing. For when Jesus saw a need, he met it immediately. Mark, by the way, uses the word immediately or at once 11 times in this first chapter of his gospel. It's no wonder that his gospel has been characterized at times as the gospel in a hurry, but that's how God works. How long does God make us wait when we reach out to him in prayer? Before we call, he answers. While we're yet speaking, he will hear. So, our calls for help have gone out. They have been heard. Now it's time to say thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.